Hey, I'm Kay Jabelli.
And I'm Frieza Balstoon. This is Monopoly Attack.
On this episode, we'll be talking about the Commission's draft vertical block exemption regulation and the related vertical block exemption guidelines. But first things first, how you doing, Frieza? This is our first episode back from summer. What did you get up to?
Well, like every academic, summer's the time for me to catch up on all this research that I plan to do during the year, but that I don't end up doing because I'm teaching all sorts of things. So, a research-intensive summer for me, preparing my book for publication, hopefully, and yeah, that kept me busy enough. What did you get up to?
Well, I got to take a little bit of a relaxed attitude. I had been during the very intense year, so I got to do some traveling. I went to California, visited, you know, where I grew up, Silicon Valley. Very nice. You know, the weather was fantastic, very positive feelings. I think the whole getting Corona under control and having a reasonable government in place that was able to get things going again for the 4th of July. I had a really nice barbecue and, you know, being there in Silicon Valley where these tech companies are still churning out good stuff and people are pretty optimistic. I think the weather probably has something to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the weather has also been pretty good in Brussels these days. And, you know, speaking of Brussels, shall we get to sort of the movements on the EU policy and legal front during the summer? Of course, I mean, the summer is a pretty chill period also for the European Commission, but some processes were still moving along. For one, this revision of the vertical block exemption regulation and the related guidelines. So can you tell us a bit about this process?
Yeah, so the VBER, as it's called, is a block exemption. The Commission has the power to say that certain kinds of agreements don't need to be individually analyzed because they are block exempted, they're fine, they're free from any antitrust problems because they meet certain criteria. They issue this as a regulation that allows companies, particularly smaller companies that are below certain market share thresholds, to self-assess and be comfortable that what they're doing and the restrictions that they might have in place in their agreements are not going to be found to be anti-competitive or cause problems. Now, the interesting thing is the law sometimes develops and market circumstances can change and evolve. So the last VBER, which was around for quite a while, but some of the practices that are being used now, especially online and with dual distribution, retailers who are selling both online and offline, variety of things that have developed over time that the old vertical block exemption regulation didn't do a good job of covering. So they've updated it or in the process of updating it. Now, what's interesting is that this is a process that began quite a while ago in October of 2018. So it's already a couple of years into this process and they've had several consultations. But over the summer, what was the big milestone was that the Commission published their draft of what they think the revision should look like. And now we're in the kind of final stages of the review. In fact, just last week, I think it was that they closed the consultation. So formally, now they're reviewing all the submissions, people who commented on those drafts and are in the process of making some minor tweaks, probably not too intense, before they finalize it and publish it as the new law for suppliers and their distribution networks.
Okay, so quite a project. For the first time in 12 years, we'll get a new framework for the assessment of these vertical agreements, which of course, under competition law, we look upon a bit less suspiciously than horizontal agreements. A lot of them can lead to efficiencies. And if I got this right, I mean, this VBER, the background was, of course, digitization. The last version was from 2010. The economy changed. Everything became digital, especially during the COVID pandemic. And I suppose the new proposed VBER by the Commission very much reflects that. Now, you talked about this commenting process. Did you submit any comments yourself?
Not in my individual capacity, but for my work for the tech industry, yeah, we had some comments. You know, there was a couple of things in the new VBER that are a little bit surprising to see. You could even say they're kind of a reversal of what used to be the case. I think it was back in the summer, Commissioner Margrethe Vestager said that she wanted to boost the high street and protect the brick and mortar shops that are there. And that is a, you know, industrial policy objective. it can be a legitimate one. But it's interesting that she said that in the context of the review of the vertical block exemption and the desire to use competition policy to forward particular objectives. And then seeing the way that that is being implemented is quite interesting. I think in some ways it's a little bit counterproductive, but we can get into that a little bit more.
Yeah, shall we maybe start with sort of the way this VBER works for those listeners that aren't completely up to date with this? There's this market share thresholds and of course then the hardcore exceptions. Where shall we start?
I think that the first basic aspect is, you know, you have to understand that the agreement is a vertical agreement. It's between non-competitors, people in different levels of the supply chain. And then indeed, there's these market share thresholds where if you're below a certain threshold and you're both below that threshold, your supplier and your distributor or your retailer, then the VBER applies. And then you go through and you look at certain restrictions that are allowed, certain restrictions that are not allowed, and some exceptions to those as well.
Right. So far, this threshold has been set at 30% for each party, of course, reflecting the idea that some of these restrictions only become harmful when they're imposed by larger players in that specific market, of course. But then there's also the idea that some of these restrictions are so harmful that it doesn't even matter what your market share is in that market, even if you're a tiny player. Something like resale price maintenance, for example, is always considered to be falling outside of this vertical block exemption, which means that at least you cannot get a shortcut to an exemption. I mean, the restriction could still be exempted under Article 101(3), this individual justification, but you don't get the benefit of the VBER.
Yeah, indeed. And, you know, the list of sort of the hardcore restraints that are normally putting you outside the VBER are the kind of stuff that you would typically expect. If you're above a certain market share threshold and you have an exclusivity, that can be problematic. If you have a retail price maintenance, that can be problematic. So it's the kind of stuff that we got from the case law. And the VBER isn't supposed to be changing the law. It's an expression of Article 101. So it's meant to be a reflection of the state of what the courts have been saying, the jurisprudence and the precedents. And, you know, when there have been new cases like around parity clauses, which we see in the platform context, which I think we've talked about in the past as well, that those kind of things then, as the court develops the law and the treatment of these, then get translated into as the regulation and the guidelines are supposed to be put into it. And, you know, every 12 or 15 years or however long a VBER will live until it's renewed and the new developments have been added into it.
Right. So maybe let's talk about some of these new developments that have been added. We know the classics like resale price maintenance, but are there any restraints that are singled out in this new VBER that weren't part of it before?
Well, one part is actually quite interesting, is that previously a platform, online intermediary that operates a marketplace effectively that allows merchants to sell on it and reach customers, you know, wasn't treated too differently than ordinary retailer. And especially regards to a dual mode platform, as in a platform or a marketplace that also acts as a first party seller that sells its own goods, whether own brand or not, but just that is active on that market itself as well, was treated not too differently than a supermarket that might be, you know, selling other parties' goods for retail, you know, purchasing from suppliers, and then also selling its own goods. But now, one of the real reversals here is that these kind of dual mode marketplaces, or what VBER calls hybrid platforms, are completely excluded from the VBER. So they don't get any of the benefits of the VBER anymore, which, you know, makes it a little bit harder for SMEs who might want to deal with a platform that is a dual mode platform, because then they won't be able to know that their agreements with that platform are or are not protected by the block exemption.
Okay, that's interesting. And what's the commission's reasoning behind this exclusion?
Well, it's kind of interesting because they say there are non-negligible horizontal concerns, but they don't really explain why those concerns are any different than in, say, the supermarket context or in any other offline context. You know, I think that's one area where they probably should at least justify it a little bit more.
Right. Yeah. This immediately makes me think of the ongoing Amazon case or cases, which originally had a 101 aspect as well, but they now seem to be based fully on 102. But of course, Amazon is one of those hybrid platforms. It sells via its, you know, Amazon.com website, but also operates as a marketplace for independent sellers. And one of those cases, at least, is about how it relies on seller data and the data of those third-party sellers that it serves for its own first-party operation, you know, the own products it manufactures, or at least purchases, has manufactured and sells through that same interface with its third-party sellers. And I suppose the commission has these kinds of situations in mind, the horizontal concern, would there be some kind of, well, yeah, I mean, at least Amazon benefiting from the data or other information it gets from sellers to use in its capacity as seller itself, right?
I think it's, you know, on the one hand, that Amazon might potentially fall outside of the market share thresholds anyway. So why are you doing this? It's just going to harm smaller platforms primarily. And then on top of that, again, it still doesn't explain why you think that it's worse in the platform context. I mean, if you look at the offline retail, the kind of information that a retailer gets in some markets is way more detailed than what they would get as an online platform. The kind of like future product designs and iterations in the telecoms, you know, mobile service providers would used to have these kind of very detailed roadmaps of products that were coming out that they would be selling of different device manufacturers. And in supermarkets as well, they've got the brands have to share a lot of information with the supermarkets on sort of what their promotions are going to be and what they're planning to do. Future stuff, not just past stuff, which is generally what is of concern in the platform context. It's not future stuff. It's data that is gathered and then aggregated from those platform interactions. But those kind of non-negligible horizontal concerns, to me, when you look at it, are even more prevalent offline. But, you know, if we're tough on platforms, then that'll make people have to buy things offline, and that'll mean more profits for the high street and offline businesses. And so that meets that sort of initial policy objective of the offline channels boosting the high street.
Yeah, I mean, insofar as that is the goal, that doesn't exactly sound right. I guess, you know, should be sort of a an equivalent treatment of both, you know, offline and online. And, you know, sometimes that will be to the benefit of online, sometimes to the benefit of offline. But I guess picking sides there might make for poor policy.
I mean, it gets even worse, right? They have this new provision now, which is a complete 180. Back before, there was a presumption that if you had suppliers offering retailers products at two different prices, one higher price for online sales and a lower price for brick and mortar sales, that this was presumptively anti-competitive. And now they've sort of completely reversed that. In order to stimulate those profits from offline channels and reduce the amount of competition that they would face with online channels, they're allowing suppliers to price discriminate, to make online retailers have to sell the online channels at a higher price than they do at the offline channels.
Now, you said earlier that, I mean, a lot of these new amendments are supposed to be generally based on previous case law. And one area where I suppose that is the case, because we've seen quite some cases, is these platform parity clauses, or most favored nation clauses, as they're called. Can you speak to the amendments on that front?
So they have sort of looked at the distinctions that have arisen in the courts between wide parity clauses and narrow parity clauses, and they have codified some of that. So it's not too surprising there. That's the kind of stuff that you would generally expect and hope to see, that the advancement of the guidelines is reflecting concerns that have been raised and the court decisions.
And so under these new rules, those wide parity clauses, which prohibit, for example, sellers from having to offer their best terms to one platform, meaning they can't offer better terms via other platforms, even though, for example, those commission fees might be lower on that platform, those would be banned, or at least will not be able to benefit from this new VBER, if I'm correct?
So wide parity clauses are excluded restrictions now, but narrow parity clauses remain block exempted. So basically, they've reflected the case law understanding that there is a justification on narrow parity clauses, and so they remain block exempted. But that increasing suspicion from competition authorities, which has been upheld by courts, that these wide parity clauses don't generate these same kind of efficiencies.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I guess, you know, the whole point of this Viber is to make it easier for both the commission and undertaking. So this is sort of the clear message. You don't have to look at this so much of a case-by-case basis anymore, but those whitery clauses are generally banned or at least cannot benefit from the block exemption. And I'm sure most platforms knew this already. We had cases on hotel booking platforms, ebook platforms with Apple and Amazon, marketplaces, again with Amazon. So I suppose at this point, this is like a pretty straightforward codification of current practice.
Yeah, which is the kind of thing you hope to see. What's another interesting codification in a way that's in the draft at least, is they've said that platforms are always suppliers, that they can never be agents of suppliers, that they themselves are going to be qualified as suppliers in this, which is interesting because we know that sometimes platforms do act as agents and they can arrange themselves in different ways, that there's a variety of business models there when you are a platform. Or, you know, platform is in itself somewhat of an ambiguous and broad term, like any website could potentially be a platform. So that part of it is also a bit of like a, let's make it harder to sell stuff online by automatically removing some possibilities of exemption, because normally agency agreements would be exempted. They wouldn't be considered a vertical agreement.
Yeah, and I guess there hasn't been too much case law on this. The only thing I can think of is these German decisions on MFNs and Booking.com, where I believe they said that these hotel booking platforms did not qualify as agents. But that's sort of the only precedent I can think of that's relevant here.
And which would be fact specific. I mean, they would be looking at those circumstances and making that judgment. But to do a blanket sort of codification that says online channel is never an agent, is that necessary? Is that helpful? Or is that just sort of codifying a presumption against to the disadvantage of online channels? But we'll see. You know, the nice thing is that it isn't over yet. There will be a further discussion between the national competition authorities and the commission on this. And it is interesting, if you look at the comments that the national competition authorities had, they generally take the view that a lot of these policy reversals of the commission, it's not sufficiently certain that the harms that they perceive or that the efficiencies that they're claiming would occur. And more of a treating things as the status quo rather than really changing things as much as the commission has proposed. And coming from the actual enforcement practice, I mean, vertical agreements normally are enforced at the national level. And it will be on the national competition authorities to make sure. At the end of the day, the objective here of clarifying the law and making it easier for companies to apply it, that's the point of the block exemption and the guidelines, and not to forward industrial policy objectives. But we'll see how ultimately those discussions play out and how much the commission is willing to walk back any of this.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch. And one sort of final thought I had is that, of course, the commission, at least in public statements, etc., or DG Comp, has sort of two new or relatively new focuses. It's been digitization for a while, but now more and more sustainability. You know, they're organizing conferences on this, calls for papers, all that kind of stuff. But in reading this new or this draft Viber, I couldn't find anything on that, though. So that's maybe an interesting omission. Or of course, that might be very in line with the fact that we don't have a lot of cases on sustainability yet, just some national precedents, so there just might not be enough to codify. So maybe that's the simple explanation.
And I think we'll see a little bit more of the sustainability stuff in the horizontal block exemption regulation review, which is also ongoing in parallel. It's a few months behind, though. It's about a 6 or 7 month gap between the two, between the vertical block exemption regulation, which needs to renew a little bit sooner than the horizontal one.
Oh, so then I guess we know what we'll be talking about in 6 months.
Indeed. Well, a big thank you to everyone who's tuned in to have a listen on this, and we'll speak to you again soon.